Hi, this is Dan Sheridan with the great news of God's transcendent grace. God's grace is transcendent. The Apostle Paul in Romans says, where sin exceeds, grace superexceeds. You can't out-sin grace. You can try if you want to. You just can't do it. The Apostle Paul also says in Romans that grace reigns through righteousness. Grace is king. It absolutely rules today, and there are no challengers to the throne of grace. It sits as king. So that's good news. But the problem we have today, there's almost a schizophrenia in Christianity. Out of one side of the mouth of a believer, they're mourning their sins. They can't believe how bad they are. And on the other side, they're saying, amazing grace. But let me just say, you can't have it both ways. And there are a lot of well-meaning people. They want to know God. They want to serve Him better, but they just can't seem to settle. They can't seem to get an idea of the goodness of God. And that's part of the reason we're discussing these things in this program. We want to eliminate the schizophrenia that's around in Christianity. They've turned the Bible into a schizophrenic book. And that is because of not correctly cutting the word of truth. A lot of the truths in Paul's letters have been lost because we have been blending contrary scriptures. We've been blending passages in Matthew with Romans and somehow trying to make them match. And when you do that, you downplay the truth of God's grace as revealed in Paul's letters. And let me just say this right off the bat. If you do not correctly cut the word of truth, you will either ignore, modify, or blend scripture together. Let me repeat it again. If you do not correctly cut, or as commonly called, rightly divide the word of truth, you will either ignore or modify scripture. But, you know, you hear this buzzword all the time, right division, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does it mean? Well, to do that, let's go to the scriptures. In 2 Timothy 2, we see that phrase used. And I'm reading from the Concordant Version in 2 Timothy 2:15, we read this, endeavor to present yourself to God qualified, an unashamed worker, correctly cutting the word of truth. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, in this verse, it is the word of truth we're talking about. We recognize that the Bible, all scripture, is God's word. We believe all of it. I've been accused many times because I teach so-called dispensational truth, because I acknowledge Paul's unique apostleship, that I'm cutting the word of God to pieces and I'm ignoring other parts of scripture. And let me just say that's furthest from the truth. I recognize that we're dealing with the word of truth. But in order to get all that you're supposed to understand out of the Bible, you have to correctly cut it. And notice it says, endeavor to present yourself approved to God qualified. It's something you do by yourself, an unashamed worker correctly cutting the word of truth. So if we don't do this, we can have shame. You're going to be a worker that needs to be ashamed. So this is why there's such an importance to get to correctly cutting. Now notice also in this very same letter to Timothy in chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is beneficial for teaching, for exposure, for correction, for discipline in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, fitted out for every good act. This term equipped and fitted out was used in the first century for fitting out a ship, giving it all the necessary supplies, as it were, to go on a voyage, to deal with the storms. You know, sailing back then wasn't as easy as it is today with the kind of ships they had. And so Paul is saying that scripture is everything that is needed for the man of God to get through the storm of life, as it were. It is enough to equip him for every good act. So the very same letter, Paul's second letter to 2 Timothy, that it says correctly cut the word of truth, also says all scripture is inspired by God. So again, we recognize all scripture is inspired by God, and yet at the same time we say it must be correctly cut. Now, again, to understand this term correctly cut, let's look at Timothy's background. Remember, Timothy, according to the book of Acts, had a Jewish mother, and he had a Greek father, and he had learned from a child the word of God. His grandmother and his mother taught him it from his youth. And Timothy would have been in possession in his day of the Greek version of the Old Testament. We call it the Septuagint. And since his father was Greek, this would have been something very familiar to him. And the first, there was a verse that everyone knew in that day. And as a matter of fact, in my church days, this was a very popular verse to quote. I gave a message recently to a group of people, and I asked them to quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And almost everyone there knew that verse by heart. And in the King James, it reads in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But the Bible Timothy was reading, that he would have learned from his mother and his grandmother, the Greek version of the Old Testament, reads this way. It's in that verse, in the Greek version, we see this word, correctly cutting or rightly dividing. Now, I have a copy of the Septuagint here, a translation. And here's how it reads. It says that trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall correctly cut your paths. Correctly cut your paths or rightly divide your paths. It's the same word. So this term right division is something very simple. It's something very sensible. It's sane. It's something we do every day. It's following the signs. It's correctly cutting or rightly dividing your paths. Every time you get into a car, you maybe take a trip, you punch in your destination on the GPS, and it takes you down certain streets to get you from point A to point B. Now, when you look at that GPS or you look at a map, you see all kinds of roads, and those roads are good. If you want to get to point C, you take those roads. If you want to get to point D, you go to those roads. But if you want to get to point A, you have to follow the directions the GPS or the map is giving you. There's nothing wrong with those other roads. They're good roads. But in order to get to a certain place, you had to go the certain roads. All roads don't lead to Chicago, or all roads don't lead to Hawaii. You have to follow the right paths. So how do we apply this to Scripture? In the Bible, in the Scriptures, we learn about there's a group of people who are going to inherit the earth. In Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That's Matthew 5. And then we come to Paul's letters, and we read that our citizenship is in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but heaven and earth are two completely different places. And if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to have problems here, because one group is going to inherit the earth, another group has a citizenship in heaven, but if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, what are you going to do with those verses? Well, as I said earlier, if you don't correctly cut, you will either come to a passage of Scripture that you will ignore or modify. And I actually know some people who say heaven, earth, it's all the same. It's all Christ. And they get ultra spiritual. Instead of interpreting the Word of God the way God intends, they kind of spiritualize it and make it mystical. But let me just say this. If Paul says heaven and the Lord Jesus says earth in Matthew and they mean the same thing, well, then the Bible is just a confusing book and it really doesn't mean much. We should just close it up and not pay attention to it because it has conflicting messages. Well, it only is conflicting if we do not correctly cut the word of truth. We don't have to blend the truths or modify them. We can recognize it. In Matthew 5, the Lord meant what he said. There's going to be a group of people that inherit the earth, and then there's going to be another group of people whose allotment is among the celestials, referring to the body of Christ. And this is an important distinction we need to make in the Word of God. The Word of God is precious and wonderful, but to get all that we're intended to get out of it, we must practice this principle of correctly cutting the Word of truth. We believe all the Bible is the Word of God. We honor it as such. All of it is wonderful, but we have to put it in its right place. Well, that's all I have time for today. Next time, I'm going to talk to you about how our Lord Jesus himself practice this principle of correctly cutting the word of truth. We're going to go to Isaiah and the account of Luke to talk about that. That'll be next time. This is Dan Sheridan. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God as he's revealed in the Scriptures, the less ceremonial and religious you will be. Have a great day.